John chapter 4, Jesus was on his way to Galilee. It says, the Lord knew how the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. But Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. He left Judea, departed again to Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. He was on the way. In fact, some Jews, because they were so prejudiced against the Samaritans, which were, you know, Jews and Gentiles intermingled, and they did not approve of that, they would go the long way around. They would not go through Samaria. But Jesus traveled through Samaria. And I made a note here. It says we can make a difference along the way, can't we? Might not be where you're going, but you can make a difference along the way. We don't have to be home to minister. And we don't have to be at our destination to minister. We can be at any point in between and help people and lead people and reach people. And that's what Jesus was doing. It says in verse 5, he come to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. So right at the middle of the day, the sun's shining. And you know what I love the most about verse 6? It shows the humanity of Jesus. And he left heaven. He laid aside his heavenly robe to be clothed with humanity, including sadness and grief and weariness of the flesh and thirst and hunger and humiliation and even death. And he would not have experienced those things in his heavenly robe, but in humanity he did. And here he is walking and getting weary with the journey and sitting down. He's one of us. He is a man, 100% man, 100% God. Verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And the woman said of Samaria unto him, how is it thou being a Jew asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We just talked about the humanity of Jesus, but one trait of humanity that Jesus did not take on is prejudice. He didn't take that one on. He loved everybody, and we should too. Love everybody. Understand that everybody needs Jesus, and they need salvation. They need grace. They need love. They need favor. So Jesus was not prejudiced. Number one, he wasn't afraid to talk to that woman because his intentions were pure. He wasn't afraid to talk to that woman because she was Samaritan, because he wasn't prejudiced. And by the way, he was thirsty. And he didn't have anything to draw with. She brings that out, doesn't she? Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God. As many times as I've read that, when I read that this week, it just hit me differently. If thou knewest the gift of God, I always focus on the living water. But he didn't just talk about the living water. He said, if you knew the gift of God, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. If she knew faith, if she had salvation, if you only knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. Think of the times where people met up with Jesus and did not know that he was who he is. Mary, after the resurrection, there in the garden, sir, if you've moved the body, show me where. We'll go. We didn't know. We thought we could bury him here. We didn't know that it was trespassing. Tell us where he is. We'll get him. And he said, Mary. She didn't know. He's walking. Two fellas are walking on the way to Emmaus on a journey after the resurrection. And he says to them, why are you so sad? The things you talk about, this sounds like there's trouble. And they say, don't you know what's happened? And he said, tell me about it. And so they told him about Jesus being crucified and how that he was put in a tomb and how that the church had been persecuted. And Jesus began to talk to them about himself from the Old Testament. And they said later, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us? Why? They didn't know who he was. You see, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, if you knew who the gift of God and who it is you're talking to. By the way, sometimes we don't know who we're talking to, do we? Sometimes we run across, my brother called me today, he said, he was preaching at a church and a young lady came to him and said, hey, I went to church, your brother used to be my pastor. You never know who you're going to run into around the world, do you? I told you last week, but I was in Valdosta at the dentist with Reagan, and in came one of my high school coaches. Never know. I sometimes talk about, you know, when I go to town, I make sure when I go to town, I expect to see people. We were at my brother's for Thanksgiving one year, and he was a pastor, and we were just going to run around the corner to the store, and he just kind of threw some sloppy clothes on to go to town. Of course, when you dress sloppy, you know you're going to run into somebody. And there they were. Hey, Pastor. And of course, I should have dressed better than this. But that's what happens. We never know who we're going to run into, who we're going to talk to. And sometimes we don't realize who it is we're talking to. We better watch our words, mind our behavior, because we're always going to run into people that need what we've got. If you only knew who you're talking to and the gift of God, who said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 11, the woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, living water. And the well is deep, from whence then hast thou that living water? What are you talking about? She never heard the term, not understanding it. Number one, it's a well. It's not a river. It's, you know, what are you talking about? It's not a spring. Where are you going to get this water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What is that living water? It is the Word of God. What is that living water? It is the salvation of God. What is that living water? It is, right, a well of salvation. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. You see, having that hope, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Did you use yours up for yesterday? They were new. It was replenished this morning, like the manna that came each day. Each morning they would go out and draw. In fact, if they drew too much, if they collected too much for the day, when they would go to use it the next morning, it was spoiled. You can't use it the next day. It's only good for today. Isn't God's grace like that? Let's not bank on God's grace. Let's not save up God's grace. Let's make sure that we live in God's grace all the time. That living water that'll spring up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, I want some of that. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. And she said, I'm tired of walking to this place every day anyway. I'm tired of bringing these big pots up here and filling them up and taking them back to the house. This would be wonderful if I had that living water. I wouldn't have to be thirsty ever again. That'd be wonderful. Well, she didn't quite understand, did she? But see, that's how it is. We had this morning, I think I recognized two people who had not been here before in this service. And those two people, I don't know their background on their salvation. I don't know if they've ever been to church before. I don't know if they knew Jesus or they know Jesus. But I can tell you what, they heard about Jesus today. But see, here's the thing. They may not, if that had been their first time hearing a clear, plain gospel message, they may not have understood it fully. Just like this woman. She needed follow-up. She didn't understand it. What do you mean I'll never die? What do you mean I'll have everlasting life? I've known Christians and they died. Yes, they did. Their body went in the grave, but their spirit went to the Lord. You see, when we talk about everlasting life and eternal life and not dying, we're not talking about physical death, because the Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die. We all die. As men are in Adam earthy, then all die in Adam. But in Christ we live. That spirit that has been ignited and has been revived, has been given life, that new life, that born again life that God talks about, spiritual life, where we live forever. And that spirit never dies. But those who don't know God not only suffer a physical death, but they suffer an eternal death, a spiritual death. You see, she didn't understand what Jesus offered. She was confused. Guys, that's not something that we laugh about people over. But we've got to give them some understanding. We've got to explain it better. We've got to be clear about it. I try to be clear. And, you know, I try to be plain. I try to bring it down where everybody can reach it. She says, I'm tired of coming here. Give me some of that. She wanted it. You see, the first thing we've got to do is make them want it. Is our life, or our lives, Monday through Friday, lived in such a way that people want what we've got? When we go to church and people ask us about church, do they want what we've got? When they hear about our salvation, our testimony, our lives, do they want what we've got? Or does it sound like poison? Does it sound like something you better stay away from? Man, do we complain about the preacher? Do we complain about the church? Do we complain about going to church? Do we complain that it messes with our schedule and cuts out our fun? Do we complain about the Bible, how God never lets us do anything fun? Because some people do. It's no wonder some people don't want what we've got. But when we talk about it, we've got to talk about God in such a way that people see the blessing and the favor and the goodness of it, and so that they want it like this woman wanted it. She said, sir, give me this water. Jesus said, verse 16, go call thy husband and come here. Verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. And isn't that interesting? Because a lot of times today people say, well, that's my wife, or that's my husband. Well, they're not even married. She didn't try to cover up, but he said, the one you're with now, y'all aren't married. Verse 19, she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. She didn't say, that's none of your business. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. You see, she's talking about worship. She's talking about religion. She's talking about tradition. She's not talking about a personal relationship. Jesus says to her, you worship and you don't even know what you're worshiping. You pray and you don't even know who he is. You sing and you don't even know who you're singing to. You make offerings and you don't even know why. It reminds me, there's so many stories like this, but it reminded me of a commander that took over a new post. He was walking along the sidewalk and he saw two soldiers standing guard next to a park bench. And he said, why are y'all there? And they said, this is our assignment. Who gave you this assignment? Our commanding officer. Where is he? So he went and found the commanding officer. He says, why? Why do you have two men posted at a park bench? And he said, well, I really can't tell you, except that's just the way we've always done it. That's what we've always done. And he said, well, who was here before you? And so he called that officer, and then they called another officer, and finally he reached back, and he finally found the original officer who commanded those two soldiers, initially those soldiers, to stand next to that park bench. And he said, you know, my name's Johnson, I'm the commanding officer over this post, and I want to understand, why are there two soldiers posted at a bench in the park? And he said, why, is the paint still wet? Those two soldiers and those who went before them and those who would have come after them were standing there. They didn't know why. People go to church and they don't know why. People sing songs and they don't know why. We read the Psalms and we say, Selah, and we don't know why. There are things that we've got to investigate. Again, go back to this morning. Curiosity. Dig into it a little bit. Find out why. What is it? You know, why do we give? Why do we pray? When we pray and how we pray? Jesus said, you don't even know what you're doing. You're doing it because tradition. Because that's what they've always done. Look at where she said, our fathers. Our fathers, verse 20. Our fathers did it, so we're doing it. He said, you don't even know what you're doing. Salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is, verse 23, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, verse 24. God is a spirit. Therefore, any time we see the physical manifestation of the Father, we know that that is not the Father, but the Son. He is spirit. We see His glory, the glowing, the lightning, the colors that are described by Ezekiel in the book of Revelation. We see the glory of God in the book of Exodus. We see God as He comes and visits with Moses in that form, but then also as a form of a man in the man Christ, as He visits with Adam and Eve and Gideon and Abraham and so on and so forth. Jesus tells us that that God the Father, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. He didn't say with vocals in truth. He didn't say with song in truth. He said spirit and truth. So when we sing those songs, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. We better engage more than our vocal cords. When we sing Mighty God, Almighty God, we better engage more than just our windpipe and our vocal cords. We need to engage our spirit if we're going to really worship Him. And we've got to get involved. I've told you about the Jews as they go and they pray at the Western Wall, and you'll see the Orthodox Jews as they pray like this. Why do they do that? Because they're trying to pray with their whole self. When we sing, we need to sing from our spirit. If we're going to worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. What did Jesus tell her? He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked, when He has come, He will tell us all things. Oh, he said, you don't even know who you're talking to. Jesus says in verse 26, I that speak unto thee am He. Isn't that something? They came looking for the King of the Jews, and none of the priests even knew He had been born. The king didn't know He had been born. But when they went and they said, where will He be born? They said, duh. Bethlehem of Judea. Of course that's where He'll be born. And that in fact is where He was born. They didn't even know. They weren't expecting Him. I believe those wise men as they traveled expected to find a great festival and much celebration over the King of the Jews. But nobody knew. And then comes Jesus to this woman and she's not expecting Him. She said, well, I know He's coming. Jesus says, I'm here. I already came. She didn't know that. She wasn't expecting that. Verse 27, upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with that woman. Well, she had marveled at the same thing. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Why talkest thou with her? Excuse me. The woman left. She left her water pot. She went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? They went out of the city and came to him. Verse 31, in the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. So the disciples thought maybe somebody brought him something to eat. Verse 34, Jesus clarified to them and said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the sayings of the woman. Why do people get saved? Most of the time, somebody that they respect, somebody that they admire, says to them, I'm saved and you should get saved too. In so many words. What are you waiting for? Don't you want to get saved? Why do people get saved? They got saved because of what the woman said. Verse 40, when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. He abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, not because of her word, but because of the word of Jesus. Now, notice what they say in verse 42. They said to the woman, we want you to know, we don't believe because of what you said. Isn't that some attitude? That's not very grateful, is it? We believe not because of thy saying. Why? For we have heard him ourselves. And we know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know what's important to me is that people get saved. I don't get any glory out of it. I have no, it's not that I'm going to get an extra crown or jewel or any of that kind of stuff. It's not important to me that they say Brother Derek's the one. That doesn't matter to me. I just want him to go to heaven. I just want to know my Jesus. I just want him to be filled with the Spirit of God and the presence of God and the power of God and be able to go in prayer to God. I just want him to be saved. They said to that woman, we didn't get saved because of you. Really, what were they saying? They were saying this. Our religion is not, what we believe is not because of your religion. You see, I'm not saved because my parents were saved or my grandparents were saved or something like that. I remember I was outside and Jehovah's Witness come up. And they started talking and I was probably 12 or 14. You know, I knew everything. And so I began to talk to them about the Lord, about the Bible and all that kind of stuff. Well, why are you a Baptist? Because your parents are Baptist? Nope. Because I'm a Baptist. Because I believe what the Bible says. It reminds me of that story where they said, well, what if you're a Baptist because your mom and dad are Baptist? Well, what would you be if your mom and dad weren't Baptist? He said, I'd be ashamed. Guys, the woman got saved. She didn't expect to get saved. She expected to get water. She didn't understand what he was saying when he started talking, but she stayed long enough to get an explanation. And by the time it was all over, she was so enthusiastic about it that she forgot what she was doing and she ran off. It was so urgent that the water was no longer urgent. And she ran off and she told all those guys, y'all got to come meet this guy. He's the Christ. She told them that. Is not this the Christ? Well, Jesus told her, I am. And they got saved, and they said, "We just want you to know, we didn't do this because of you. We did this because of us. We didn't do this because of you. We did this because of him." Guys, we need them to fall in love with Jesus. Not just fall in love with you, not just fall in love with the church. We need them to fall in love with Jesus. That's what's going to keep them connected. That's what's going to save their souls. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much, and we pray that you will use us for your glory this week. That souls will be saved, that lives will be changed, that hearts will be healed, that people will be refreshed and revived. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for our church. We thank you for our country. We pray that you will use every resource we have, that we will be stewards, that we will make a difference. Dismiss us with your blessing and forgive us of our sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.